All right, Skylar, this one's for you because you are Mr. UNF, I guess we could say. UNF men's basketball has been off to probably the hottest start in their history, probably. Yeah. They are 3-0. I'm really upset that I'm not...
Georgia tonight at 7.
They play Georgia tonight.
They've already beaten
South Carolina by 3 a couple Mondays ago. We mentioned that here on the pod. They beat Charleston Southern, which that's still a quality win. I mean, they beat the tar out of them. And then they beat Georgia Tech pretty handily by like 12 points on Sunday.
Yeah.
Is this UNF's year?
That's pretty exciting. I think you know, they've runner up in the A-Sun last year, but I think they have like 4 new players on the roster. I haven't really looked at it, but you know, to see them beat bigger conference teams is pretty cool. If I remember it, I'll try to turn on the game tonight. It'd be definitely good to watch them beat Georgia as a Gator fan, and then as a Mike White hater, that'd be cool. But yeah, if they continue, that'd be great. Obviously, getting these quality wins prepares them for the A-Sun tournament, and that's kind of the way into the tournament. But I mean, if they keep getting big wins and have a solid record, they might just get in anyways, which would be pretty crazy.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So Mike, I'm just excited to see it.
Mike, this is for you. Can you give me the biggest name in recent years to come out of Georgia in basketball?
Anthony Edwards.
There you go. All right, cool.
Can
you name the Magic player that went to Georgia?
No.
Latavius Caldwell Pope.
Ah, throwback. Okay.
Yeah.
So, when I say throwback, obviously it's
I know him. Yeah. So just a little trivia there for you. But hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 119 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. The whole gang is here. Mike is drafting up a contract for work right now and looking frustrated while doing so. Skylar,
I'm irritated because I have real estate agents have an ID and the website's not registering my ID. I'm active realtor and it's really pissing me off. I don't understand what's going on. So whatever. Continue.
Anyway, Skylar's in his living room, it appears. He's got the blinds up. I have my blinds halfway open, just so you can kind of see me, but I'm in the Nerdy Net studio, of course. Oh, hello, puppy. What's the name?
That's Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. I hope you're
almost audio
being relaxed. We've got a fun-filled episode here for you. That's really a joke, because there's nothing fun about the Jacksonville Jaguars, Florida State Seminoles, and Florida Gators, but we're going to try and make it as fun as possible and jump right in. Let's just start with those Gainesville native Florida Gators who get, taken to the cleaners is the easiest way to put it, by number 5 Texas, 49-17, your final score there. It's a tough game. You know, you sit there. Aiden Warner comes in his first start ever for the Gators, throws for 132 yards, throws a pair of interceptions, not great. Jacoby Jackson, that's his name, right? He stepped in at running back, 116 yards, so a nice little rushing game for him, but probably a lot of garbage time as Quinn Ewers comes out and plays an impressive game, 5 TDs, and the Longhorns roll. So Florida sitting at 4-5, but at 4-4, they made an interesting decision. Billy Napier will continue to be the Gators head coach next year. Athletic director Scott Strickland posted an announcement on social media. We have seen improvement this year, at least. I mean, we started the season talking about who's going to be worse, Florida or Florida State. Florida has improved. DJ Lagway is the guy, I think, in Florida. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, Skylar, but there's a lot of different things that have probably gone into this. I want your take as to why they did this.
I mean, obviously, anytime you make changes, there's going to be some type of, effects around the whole complex and facility and all the players. There's nowadays with the transfer portal, you take a risk when you make a coaching change because players you have, are at free will to go wherever they would like and play for whoever they would like, especially if, their end of the deal didn't stand and their coach that they committed to leaves. So that's probably, one reason because DJ Lagway stayed committed to Napier during last year, like when the season was rough. So there's no telling that Lagway, I doubt he would have transferred, but there's always that thought that you want to keep some of the best players here. And a lot of these players are still here because of Billy. And you see they play well for him, but I guess that's where Scott Strickland saw the progress. They definitely did play well. Defense got better. Texas was a different game, but that's also because of injuries. But at the same time, I get frustrated because our third string quarterback is a Yale transfer, but that's, here or there, whatever. But yeah, no, I think they keep him because they saw this slight progress and DJ Lagway, like you mentioned, is the quarterback of the future. And keep him with the coach that he loves, and maybe we see some advanced growth throughout the offseason versus potential damage to his growth because of a coaching change or potentially losing him and other players.
Well, I think the number one thing Florida needs to do, or at least Billy Napier needs to do, is fire a special teams coach and get a new special teams coach. And for next year, I think the goal needs to be keep the best players on the roster. Lagway is one of those. I don't know. There's other guys. I don't really know the Gators roster that well, but there's a lot of young, promising offensive playmakers that I think they can build around. And then they'll have to probably find a new wide, some new wide receivers. They're okay. They all need to find somebody that can help on the defensive front, and they don't get a lot of pressure, so you need someone that can pressure the quarterback. Napier has finished 32nd, 12th, and 10th in recruiting in his 3 years in Gainesville. It's improvement. 32nd, obviously, to 12th is huge, but 12th to 10th is still a little bit of improvement. Do I think that Billy Napier is the coach that can get this team back to the national level that they once were? No. Do I think he might be able to be the guy that they just keep on for another year until a better coach comes around? Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I guess there's no clear coaching candidate right there. That's where, Lane Kiffin was kind of being thrown out there as a name. But he's potentially, there's no telling what he's going to do. He could stay, but yeah.
I just think like he's a good, I
Yeah,
can't say
that
good. I
he's.
don't know about good, but like he is the guy that you just keep around until that one guy becomes available. Like you said, Lane Kiffin, they talked about it. He probably wasn't interested. So they're like, well, I guess we should keep this guy another year because we don't want to lose those recruits that we already have. We're going to keep him and then just say, fingers crossed, somebody really good becomes available and wants to rebuild this program here in Florida. Not rebuild, but like continue to grow this program here in Gainesville. So
Yeah, it's just hard to like, you can't really have that mindset at the University of Florida. Like, you can't hold on to a coach until one becomes available because each season you should be able to win. Like, Texas A&M has a first year head coach and they're second in the SEC right now. And Tennessee's made strides in their game. And Georgia, even though they're down, they're still Georgia and they still beat us in the end. And that's where, if we're not beating some of these teams, we're beating the teams we should, but we're not winning any games. I think, Billy's only had like one win over ranked opponents, like, well, since he's been here, and that was the Utah game when he first took over. And since then, it hasn't been good against ranked opponents. So I don't know, to sit there and wait when you don't even know who's gonna become a hot candidate, people get hot, and that's what happened to Billy. He got hot as a coaching candidate in Louisiana, and everyone thought he was the guy, but he's not the guy. He's just someone that got hot coaching and had a good season. So
So that's where you're kind of losing me here. You're saying he's not
Correct.
the guy, but you say you can't hold on to a guy. So who do you get to replace him? The next hot guy from a lower tier school, or what if you're Scott Strickland, what are you doing?
Well, I think if, Billy, like right now, Scott Strickland might not have a job, so I think they might have to look for a new athletic director. And that could be where Scott Strickland isn't going to be able to make a coaching decision right now, probably because we have to see what's going to happen with Todd Golden too, and that could potentially go into the decision of Strickland. And why would Strickland make a coaching decision if he's going to get fired anyway? So maybe this could be they put out an announcement by Strickland, and then we see what happens with what's going on with the basketball coach, and then maybe there might be a different decision from Strickland. If a new AD comes in, then who knows? Maybe there would be a switch before the season, but no telling.
Well, looking at the 2025 schedule for the University of Florida, your out of conference games are USF at home, Miami at Miami. That's going to be a tough one. FAMU, that's a cakewalk. Georgia and Florida State. And then in conference, you've got Mississippi State. These are all the home games: Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas, and then on the road, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. So it's going to be another tough year for Florida. We'll
Yeah.
see what Billy can muster up. I have a feeling they're going to be better next year than they will this year. Like, they will make a bowl next year, but then that just kind of throws a wrench in everything where. Is he the coach again the year after that? So we'll see. We got a lot of football to go. Unfortunately, we still have a few more weeks in this season as Florida takes on LSU this weekend, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. That's going to be another tough one for the Yale transfer to try and handle if Lagway isn't going to be the
Yeah.
quarterback. We'll see.
Yeah.
Mike, before we get into Florida State, you want to say sorry to me?
I saw your tweet. Yes, I did. Yeah, I clearly am someone who does not know college football because I've been dead wrong on a lot of these games. And yeah, very, I was shocked to see that. But also, I blame the rain, but also Carson Beck looks like garbage. So yeah, you were right.
I'm going to go ahead and insert the clip here in case anyone didn't listen to the episode last week. I think Ole Miss somehow, some way, does some ridiculous crap and ends up winning the game, and you're looking at a two-loss Georgia team.
I think you might be on your own on that one.
Hey man, I gotta make a bold prediction every once in a while.
I just don't think Ole Miss is that good. I think this game, Georgia Ole Miss is a big one, but I just don't see Georgia losing to Ole Miss. I just don't. I don't think Ole Miss is a good team. So
That's
I
fair.
hope.
That's
I
fair.
mean, you've been right on so far with the SEC. Like you've been predicting. I don't think it's close. I've been wrong, but I just don't see Georgia losing to Ole Miss. I think Kirby's got to get them right, and they still got championship goals. They got championship aspirations.
So yes, that was the clip there for you. it made me feel pretty good. I was sitting there. I don't normally sit there and be invested in games like that, but I was very invested. I was like, "Come on, Ole Miss, hold on, hold on." When the smoke got on the field, I was like, "I think this is a sign. This is Florida LSU all over again, and they're not going to be able to see anything, and Georgia's going to lose this one." And they did.
So yeah, when I saw you tweet that from your account, I was at a wedding and I'm like, I'm not responding to this, but I know what he was talking about. I'm like, damn it, whatever.
I just had to give myself a pat on the back there before we get into the dreadful topic of the Seminoles of Florida State getting
Is it
whooped by
dreadful
Notre
though?
Dame.
Is it
What's that?
dreadful? That game was not. If anyone actually sat and watched that game, I give you credit because I checked the score at halftime. It was like 21-3 or whatever. I'm like, okay, here comes Notre Dame, is what I thought. I'm like, there's no way that we're gonna keep it close. And I was right, 52-3.
Yeah, when your leading receiver has 22 yards receiving, and your leading rusher has 77 yards, and your starting quarterback has 51 total yards, it's not great.
It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. So
But with the
are you guys
bad
good at
comes some good, What's that?
I was gonna ask, are y'all planning to go any games this season still while the tickets are cheap?
No, I'm not going to Tallahassee. That's
No,
what you're asking.
no, I don't go to Tallahassee unless I have to for work. House cleaning is ensued though, has begun. Ron Dugans, Alex Atkins, and Adam Fuller. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. They are gonzo. Mike, it's our third straight loss of 20 points or more. Defense has been bad. The offense has been bad. Special teams has been whatever. It's just been a terrible season. And we've been calling for heads since what? Week three, week four?
So
And
I yeah.
it's happened. So we're last among 134 FBS teams in scoring with 13.3 points per game, and our 101st in scoring defense, surrendering 29.8 points per game. Again, this team went 13-0 last year and captured an ACC title and just completely forgot how to play football. And now we're firing all those coaches that were, up for some of them were up for awards last year and stuff like that. So, do
It kind of
we?
it's crazy to see what talent can do to a team. The team last year was loaded with NFL talent. We're seeing some of them play on the field in the NFL today, like as of this weekend.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them made impacts in one way or another. So like, and potentially one of them is a future of a franchise. Like you don't know, but it's just crazy how much talent was on that team. And I am still convinced, and I know Bud Elliott from the Nolcast and CBS Sports as a theory, and I kind of am starting to believe it. I think that if the Noles were not snubbed in December, like they were in the college football playoff last year, this would not have happened. I am convinced that there was internal pressure to go all in, essentially, try to win the ACC with the returning players from last year. And these players are just not good enough. Now, this is not what I expected. Not only anyone, no one in the right mind expected 1-9 at this point in the year.
No.
So I think there's some validity to that theory, but I also think that, okay, this is a new low. We've never seen this low happen. It's never happened to at least a school like Florida State. So I just hope that there's no remaining toxicity basically from this season
Yeah.
and going into other seasons, and the program hopefully is not impacted too much. But I'm glad these firings occurred. I was a little surprised with Atkins personally, but I completely understood the reasoning for Fuller and Dugans. Dugans can't recruit for crap. He had three, four receiver commits committed, and then in the last 2 months they all flipped because they stink. So Fuller can't recruit either. We have not had a defensive recruit really since he came in, a legitimate one. He's kind of responsible, I think, for losing Travis Hunter a few years ago. I do believe that Atkins also, I get why he was fired. The offensive line is complete dog shit. Like, it is bad.
Yeah.
So,
With all
yeah, that's,
upperclassmen too.
yeah, it's this, the offensive line took a step back from last year, which is insane because they weren't that great last year, but this is just horrible.
Putrid, yeah.
So, yeah, it all made sense. I am glad, and I don't think the firings have stopped. I don't think they will stop. I think there's about to be three, maybe four more coming, whether it's this week, next week, or after the UF game.
It'll be after the
So,
UF game, they'll fire Randy Shannon because they can't do it right now because he's the interim defensive coordinator. So,
yeah, Randy Shannon should be gone. Papuchas maybe. There's just so much to go. There's so many more changes coming, and it's do or die for Mike Norvell. It really is. In Tallahassee, this is it. Like he's got a hit on these coaches. Screw the 2025 recruiting cycle. It's done. There's no way a coach is going to come in with 2 weeks and get recruits here. No way.
right.
Focus on the next year. Try to get some transfer portal people. Like, try to get it. Like, I think he's guaranteed to be the coach the next 2 years. Guaranteed. Then, if he sucks again the next 2 years, then we talk about the
I agree with
buyout.
that. I agree with that. Well, one last thing, you talking about coaches coming in. This is just a simple your thoughts on this. Antonio Cromartie has voiced his interest in coming back to coach. Any? No? I'm seeing shaking heads. No?
There's no need to have former players on the staff.
Okay.
Like, it
What about Deion
causes.
Sanders?
No, Deion. What has Deion done at the recruiting level?
Oh, man. Didn't he get his sons to play with him?
Transfer portal, but yeah.
But they, well, did they, weren't they at Jackson State first and
I mean, yeah,
they
you're recruiting to Jackson State, not a Power 3, Power 4 conference. It's a little different level.
I haven't kept up with his recruiting lately, but
He's done nothing.
he's gonna be in the playoffs, so.
Again, recruiting compared to transfer portal.
I mean,
Regardless,
that's whole
keep
Mike
going,
Norvell
Mike.
thing, though.
Huh?
Go on, keep going about the former Florida State stuff.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a problem. Like, look at Ron Dugans. Like, he should have been fired probably 2 years ago, if we're being real. But he had Keon Coleman, he had Johnny Wilson, he had actually those were it. Like, I think that bought him maybe some time, but also some recruits liked him, but then they flipped. So I was like, why are you here? The receivers stink. Our best receiver is Lawrence Toe-Philly, who's a running back, and we have no recruits committed to us right now at the position. So what are you doing for me? Other than the fact that you're a legend here? No good for me. See ya. So I don't want any former players anywhere near the staff. The only one? No, nah, not even that. I was gonna suggest a name, but I'm not going to. So like, I'm just like, there's no need for former players because it also causes issues with boosters. And they see a former player, it's hard to let go of former players for some boosters. Dugans is a legend in Tallahassee. Probably hard to get rid of him, but it just does not make sense to me.
Okay, that is all very fair, and I agree with you.
It's like,
I
for
think.
example, sorry to cut you off. It's like, for example, the Jaguars hiring Tony Boselli to be the offensive line coach, and he does a piss poor job. I mean, it's just like the same concept. It'd be hard, but I think NFL's a little different. But
Yeah, it is. I think
because
the only capacity that you bring in a former coach is as like. What those fancy terms they just call them like an advisor or just something like that, where
yeah,
they
off
come
field, I'm
in,
fine with that. Or
yeah, and
yeah.
they just come in and they talk to the guys. Totally okay with that. But yeah, positionally, unless you have experience, I'm good. I know Dugan's had experience in Miami, but I'm good. What's
Yeah, Dugan sucked at Miami too.
I do think it's funny that you mentioned like Jaguars like with Tony Boselli because Mark Brunell's the Detroit quarterback coach, right? And Jared Goff's having a great season. And
Yeah,
then
bad
Keenan
week last
McCardell's
week.
the is the Vikings wide receiver coach, and Justin Jefferson's still the best receiver in the league. So
Yeah, and
former
that's why the
Jaguars
NFL
aren't too
is
bad at
different. That
coaches.
yeah, it proves that point. The
Yeah.
NFL is very different.
Yeah,
They
I was just pointing out it's cool how they're successful, or they have like some of the best players under them.
too
So
bad we couldn't bring them back to Jacksonville, which leads me to our next point. The Jacksonville Jaguars dropped their third straight, 12-7, the final in this one against the Vikings at home. Wow. Yeah, Mac Jones in his first start with the team, 14 of 22 for 111 yards, two very crucial interceptions. The last one very much like how the last week's game ended. Sam Darnold does not throw a touchdown in this game, throws three interceptions, and we don't capitalize on a single one of those. We hold Aaron Jones to 88 yards rushing, and your leading receiver is not Justin Jefferson, it's TJ Hawkinson. Justin Jefferson is held to five receptions for 48 yards. The defense was pretty much locked down in this game. Hats off to all of them. You only get one sack. Trayvon, shout out. He's probably having the best season sack-wise for he is for the team. And you get three picks. Darnell Savage, who actually had a return on his Foye Aluakun, and Buster Brown, all with picks. Was it
that
just
Foye,
no Trevor? Is that the problem? Was that the problem in this game? Either one of you.
okay, Mike, you want to start off?
You start, Skylar.
All right. I mean, yeah, I think you could point at Trevor just because like Mac Jones was at only 111 yards. We didn't do much after the turnovers. I mean, I think it just shows how bad the offense is regardless. But it also should, does give Trevor some credit to show that he's able to move the ball with some of these guys. Like last week, even though we were down a lot and defense kind of got us back into that game, He was able to drive the ball down the field, albeit it was maybe mainly led by penalties and stuff. But yeah, it's just if Trevor had a 111-yard game with a bobbled snap under the center and two interceptions, like it'd be chaos. Because I mean, his games he has one crucial interception, and that's usually typically it, and just not enough like first downs. And he's still, obviously, people have been clamoring for Mac Jones to come in. And now that we've had the Mac Jones experience, it's kind of people need to kind of understand why Trevor's still the starter. And I guess we'll see what happens with his shoulder beyond here. Whether it looks like to me, just based on my opinion, it seems like he's trying to make an executive decision on just resting and not having to get surgery versus. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but just
Sure.
for like if he can rest and just sit out and wait till the off season versus trying to get surgery and coming back or whatever, I think he's just going to try to take the natural route, and I don't know if he necessarily wants to play again, not knowing who the coaching staff's going to be next year. So
Understood, Mike.
what have I been saying the last few weeks? One more week.
One more
That's all
week.
we have. One more week until Doug Peterson is no longer head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. If that does not happen, I guarantee you the last month of the year, there's going to be little to no Jaguar fans at the stadium, and that's going to impact Shad Khan's wallet, and that's when he's going to make a move. So, this game was the perfect encapsulation of why Doug Peterson should be fired, and also Ryan Nielsen. The defense let up so many yards. Luckily, they got some
400,
turnovers.
yeah.
Luckily, they got some turnovers. I'll say that. They finally got some turnovers, but it's week 10, 11, whatever week we're in. Like, what took so long? Trayvon Walker is undisciplined. What are we doing here in the fourth quarter? Throwing a punch at the end of the game? Really? Like, you could have actually held them and maybe had a miracle touchdown with Mac Jones. But whoever says Trevor Lawrence's fault this year, like, this year has been Trevor Lawrence's fault. This game is exactly why it is not. He's actually the reason why we're still in a lot of these games. So if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I go ahead and have surgery on my shoulder, and go ahead and sit out the rest of the year. Enjoy your wife's pregnancy, as the baby's probably due any minute now. Not any minute, but like his wife's
Soon.
pregnant. So I think that might be playing a factor into it.
Keep going to Angie subs like we've seen him on Instagram at Angie's.
Yep. And Doug Peterson is saying that the media, the fans, and really, everyone is stupid enough to not understand a play call that Mac Jones threw game-sealing interception in. That pissed me off. I'm like, dude, what are we doing? We are not as dumb as you think. You played quarterback in the NFL. You're a flame out in the NFL. You got lucky that one year in Philadelphia. And I guarantee you, if Philadelphia played Jacksonville in 2017, Jacksonville would have beat that ass. Nick Foles would have been destroyed by Saxonville. And
Blake Bortles and Doug Marrone would have had a statue here.
Hell yeah,
Exactly, bro.
man.
I would have been in full support of that because
An
Jaguars
alternate
deserve a Super
universe.
Bowl. Oh,
But like,
man.
what are we doing here? Doug Peterson's blame, like, not even explaining a play call. Like, really? It took multiple report media people to break down the play in a few
Yeah,
minutes.
I saw a lot of people break it down. It was
I'm
great.
like, it's not that difficult. After seeing that, I'm like, oh, okay, it made sense. We understood it. But Doug Peterson thinks we have the brain of a little peanut. Like, we have no brain capacity to understand a play call. So he can. I'm so glad in 1 week. I'm hoping to God he gets fired after Detroit because, oh my God, he does not deserve to be head coach anywhere else after this season.
Should we
And
rehire
same,
Doug Marrone?
no. And Baalke also should not have a job in general. Whether it's NFL, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's engineering, whether it's a cashier, whether it's a garbage man, he cannot do anything right. He built this roster, and this roster is shit.
And he hates Trevor. Did you guys
Who,
see the
Baalke?
quote? Or no,
Baalke?
oh, you're talking about Baalke. I'm sorry. I
Oh,
thought you
no,
were
I'm talking about
talking about
Baalke. But
Doug.
Doug Peterson, yeah, Doug Peterson does not like Trevor at all.
Did you see his
So,
quote from the other day about his shoulder?
yeah, how he
That
said carry a duffel bag? It's a
Yeah,
pain
he's
tolerance
like,
issue.
from your experience, how does your left arm, your non-throwing arm, affect you as a quarterback? I guess it depends which arm you carry your duffel bag on. It doesn't affect your throwing arm very much.
Bro, he just basically called Trevor Lawrence soft enough. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I call Shad Khan. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, he called Shad Khan and said, "Hey, bud, my shoulder hurts and I'm not playing again this season until you fire this prick, or I'm just sitting out. I'm good. You guys can play Mac. See ya."
It's just like, what are we doing? I literally mentioned last week and I said, or maybe it was, I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but I said if the Jaguars are actually winning games, he would fight through the injury. But it's clearly like Trevor's a fighter. Like he will play games.
Oh
He'll
yeah.
take beatings.
Last season is a perfect example.
This is absurd that we're struggling and we have a toxic culture here in Jacksonville. I don't know what it is. But again, it ties to the fact that Shad Khan has not cleaned house. He's only cleaned house once in his career. And that was the first year of ownership, I'm pretty sure. So, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Well, we're waiting out the rest of the
I think I
season.
just found the episode title.
What are we doing? Yeah, probably. Well, Mike has mentioned multiple times that we have the Lions coming up, and then we have the bye where hopefully we'll see some firings. But yeah, that Lions game is just going to be like, do I even turn it on? And I don't think I will.
I'll be watching. I like to torture myself.
I mean, we've done it so long, it's kind of just second nature at this point.
Well, it's just like, it's crazy. They find new ways to lose each week. Like, would you have them imagine last week they would have had the ball in the fourth quarter multiple times with the chance to drive down the field? And Mac Jones threw two game-sealing interceptions, but we still got the ball back because I don't know, just the drama,
Oh
find
yeah,
new.
they keep us invested and just make us cry when we lose again over and over and over. But yeah, no, I mean I say that I'll probably still be watching just because I'm a terrible person to myself. So
My second favorite team, the Cardinals, are doing well though, so
least you got that going for you.
yeah.
Just yes or no from you guys. I don't need any analysis, just yes or no. Brian Flores is interested in being a co head coach again. Would you hire him? Mike's shaking his head no. Skyler? Yes or no? It's all
No, I mean no,
no.
just lawsuit stuff. No,
Okay. So
legal stuff.
cool. All right. Well,
I don't want Brian Flores because of the fact that he pretty much destroyed Tua Tagovailoa's confidence, and I don't think that he would go well with Trevor Lawrence personally.
need a coach that yeah is good
Is
with the
actually a
quarterback.
believer in the quarterback.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have the star quarterback call him, quote, a terrible person like Tua did to Brian Flores. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was, I'm pretty sure, the one who came out and said, like, yeah, he broke Tua and his methods were just not good. So, yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't want him either. Mike, I'm just going to tell you now to start preparing your draft pick if you haven't yet already. I'm going to go ahead and get into our ad read so we can finish things off here. Nerdy Nuts is our proud sponsor of the podcast. I mentioned last week that the advent calendars are on sale. They are still on sale if you are interested in purchasing one, getting 12 delicious peanut butters, one per day, or I guess, yeah, no, it is 25. Yeah, so yeah, one per day for advent. And their newest releases include Red Velvet Cake Batter, Snickerific Crispy Bar. So it looks like Snickers and like Cocoa Cris Rice Krispies. It's an interesting one. 24 Karat Caramel Cake, Poppin' Caramel, which looks like caramel corn, Raspberry Chocolate Cheesecake, S'mores Brownie, and Blueberry Lemon Crisp. That's an almond butter. So Nerdy Nuts releases new flavors each week. 7 p.m. on Sunday is when those flavors drop. You can purchase them and use our promo code DIMES10 to get 10% off your purchase. It is a great stocking stuffer. I've gotten a lot from my family in the past. They always enjoy the funky flavors that Nerdy Nuts offers. And if you're not looking just for peanut butter, they have peanut butter related products such as their peanut butter spoons that go for $2.99 and their giant one that goes for $3.99 to help you scoop every last bit of peanut butter out of your jar. Mike, you got a name for us as we close out episode 119 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. He's Skylar Chase. He's Mike Algeon. Keith Manzi signing off. We'll catch you next time. And go ahead, Mike.
So the Jags are currently in place, or are on track to be the number one pick in the draft for the third time in 5 years. So if that doesn't scream fire bulky, I don't know what will. But here is my draft pick name. Defensive lineman, Mason Graham, Michigan.
Wow. That's two Michigan men. I'm just going to point that out there. Two Michigan men.
I mean, just trenches, I think, matter right now. And we need another D lineman.
That's fair. Thank you all for listening. Have a great one. We'll catch you next week.